can say you can't come to a, you can't come to a yantiv without learning Bnei Yisachar. He unlocks every month and every yantiv and reveals the secret. The Chanukah was his main inyan. I think I mentioned on Sunday. I once saw in a biography that the Bnei Yisachar said, "Don't even ask me about Chanukah because I know too much." And it's like overwhelming. The Ur of Chanukah was so overwhelming by him that he could barely present himself. He could barely present the ideas he wanted to share. But he did, Baruch Hashem. He presented 14 ma'amarim on Kislev and Teves. Very, very lengthy. Okay, and we'll look at one piece. This is in Maimer Bez, which is called Ur Torah. And it's in Os Chaf Hei. Okay, on the left-hand side of the page by the arrow. And he's explaining a pasuk in Chumash. Ves Yehuda shalach lafanav el Yosef, lahoros lefanav goshna. Ves Yehuda shalach lefanav, Yaakov sent Yehuda ahead to Mitzrayim, lahoros lefanav goshna. Which Chazal understands to set up a yeshiva in Goshen. Because if we have Torah, we can even survive a Golus Mitzrayim. Yaakov knows where we're heading. Klal Yisrael is heading into a very dark Golus. And therefore Yehuda is sent to Yosef in order to make hachanas, to make preparations. Make sure there's a kollel, a kosher pizza store, a mikvah, you know. All the things that Jews need to survive. Okay? So that's Ves Yehuda shalach lefanav el Yosef, lahoros lashon of Torah, lashon of hora, to set up a base Talmud in the language of Chazal, lefanav goshna, in Goshen. Yesh lezboni lama shalach lefanav. And we need to understand why was it necessary to send Yehuda ahead. Udrashos Chazal yadua, Chazal's words are well known. V'gam l'divrayim zal kosho lama shalach es Yehuda daika. And even if we say that he was sent ahead in order to, like Chazal say, set up a base medrash, well, why dafki Yehuda? Why did Yaakov dafka send Yehuda out of all his children? So you can say, well, Yehuda's known for Torah. And so is Levi and so is Yisachar. So why dafka Yehuda? Gam goshna havilei lemeimar legoshen. And furthermore, why is it goshna? Why isn't it legoshen? Now, obviously, the Bnei Yisachar knows what he writes in parentheses here. Hagam shebamakom lamed betchila mati lakosav lefamim hei besofa. He says, of course, we know in general, we have a rule that sometimes instead of a lamed before a word, we put a hey at the end of the word. So give me an example. Besides, instead of saying ligoshen, it says goshna. Instead of saying limitzrayim, it says mitzrayma. Right? So that's a klal. But we need to understand right, why here dafka it says goshna as opposed to ligoshen. Im kol zeh taima boi v'lo davar reku, and it's not an empty thing. We need to try to think deeply about this and understand what's going on here. There's many secrets in this pasuk. Okay? Everyone excited? Bnei Yisachar. This is, you can't come to Chanukah without this Torah. V'nira d'hinei yadua, it is well known. He says you can look in the Likutei Torah, in Parshas Kitetze of the Arizal. D'galus harishon galus Mitzrayim, hayakadavar sharshi, l'chol ha'arba galuyos min ha'arba malchus. Asher hechbido ulam al Yisrael, kol echad min ha'arba malchus. Fine, let's pause there for a second. The first galus, the galus rishon, namely galus Mitzrayim, he says is a davar sharshi, l'chol ha'arba galuyos min ha'arba malchus. Mitzrayim is the root of all galus. Mitzrayim is the root of all of galus. And four malchios that we talk about, the four exiles of Jewish history, I was a good boy today, I brought along a new marker. The four exiles of Jewish history are all rooted in Galus Mitzrayim. It all begins in Mitzrayim. It's interesting, you look in the Medrash, okay, those are the four galus. It's rooted in Mitzrayim. All of galus, all of negativity, all of the struggles of Jewish people are rooted in Mitzrayim. And from them emerges the four malchios, the four kingdoms, the four exiles, Bavel, Madai, Yavan, and Edom. And our job is to somehow get past that. Okay, now it's interesting. You open up the Medrash again in Bereshis Rabbah, and the Medrash says, Bereshis Bar Elokim, Esa Shemayim Vesaretz, Va'aretz Haisa, Tohu, Vavohu, Vachoshech, Alpanei Sahom. So the Medrash says that there are four exiles. Right? The Medrash doesn't even count Mitzrayim. You don't count something that's the root of something. Right? Meaning when the Medrash talks about the four exiles, it's talking about the four pratim, the four details of exile. But the root of that experience, which is not even counted by Chazal, is one of the Galios. So it's like, right, if I asked you, when were the Jews in exile? The first thing you might say is in Egypt. But we don't count that as one of the exiles. Because it's not a specific exile. It's the root from which all of the four exiles emerge. Okay? So the Midrash says, when Hashem created the world was Tohu, and Bohu, and Choshech, Al Pnei Sahom. Yeah, the Midrash says Tohu is Galus Bavel, Bohu is Galus Madai, Choshech, which is easy to understand, of course, is Yavan. Chanukah is Or, and Yavan is Choshech. The Midrash says Shechshichu Einayim Shel Yisrael, they darkened their eyes with their terrible gezeros, their terrible decrees against us. And then the last Galus, which we're in today, let's remind ourselves we're in Galus. Yeah, everyone knows we're in Galus. We're in Galus. We're in Galus. You have to remember we're in Galus. Remember a conversation I once had with a high school student. And I was talking about, you know, Galus Edom. So he's like, oh, when was that? I was like, we're in it now. Right, that's the biggest Galus. So we don't even know we're in Galus. We're so used to life without a Beis Hamikdash. Okay. So the final Galus is Galus Edom, right? Rome. Sometimes we say Romi. Sometimes Galus Edom, we said yesterday, is called Romi. Okay. These are the four exiles. I will just point out, as I always like to do, my father likes to point out that, again, if you look at the pasuk, it says, Tohu bavohu v'choshech al pnei sahom. The Medrash doesn't darshan the words al pnei. The Medrash skips over the words al pnei. It doesn't darshan. Right? Tohu bavohu v'choshech al pnei sahom. The Medrash doesn't darshan al pnei. So my father likes to say that al pnei is gematria 240, which is gematria amalek. Because amalek is an ongoing theme until the end. Malik always has to be hanging around till the end. So Al Panei is Gematria Malik. The Svarim point out that really, if you look in the Medrash, there's really a fifth exile. Not Mitzrayim, which is the root of exile, but the last exile is really a combination of Edom and who? Yishmael. Right? You have Rome, you have Christianity, you have the Western world, and then you have militant Islam. Then you have Yishmael. So the Tzaddikim have pointed out now, what's the gematria of the word tahom? We said tahom is the code word in the pasuk for Galus Edom. That's what the Medrash says in Bereishis Rabbah. What's the gematria of the word tahom? Tahom? 451. It's the same gematria as Yishmael. It's exactly the same gematria as Yishmael. Because the final Galus is a combination of Edom and Yishmael. It's really the combination of the two. It's a combination of Edom and Yishmael. Okay? Everyone got that? Yeah? What happens when you put together Edom and Yishmael, by the way? What's the matter of Edom plus Yishmael? It's Chanukah. You got to do Ramazim. It's all Ramazim on Chanukah. What's Edom plus Yishmael? Yishmael is 451. How much is Edom?
51.
Edom is 51. So what do you get? 451 plus 51.
502.
Who remembers 502? 502, I don't know 502. So Tshina Rebbe says, well, there's certain numbers you have to know. You have to know Shema Yisrael is 1118. You have to know Bereishis is 913. There's certain numbers you have to just get stuck in your head. You have to know Yisrael is 541. You have to know Yishmael is 451. There's certain numbers you have to know. Shabbos is 702. Yeah? Okay, so what's 502? Oh. So 502 are the years of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Right? How many years did Avram live? How many years did Avram live? 175. How many years did Yitzchak live? 180. How many years did Yaakov live? 147. So what's the magic number? 502. Yeah, so Edom plus Yishmael is also 502, which is beautiful. Right. It's mamash the zelu umazeh of Klal Yisrael. We're rooted in the Avos, 502. Yeah? How many years did David HaMelech live? 70. Right? David HaMelech lived 70 years. The gematria of 502 is gematria of basar. The gematria of 70 is gematria of yayin. So that's what Chazal mean. Ain't simcha el b'basar v'yayin. Understand? Understand the secret? There's no joy other than Basar v'Yayin. Basar is the years of the Avos. Yayin is the years of David HaMelech. Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, and David. Those are the four wheels of the divine chariot. Yes? Come here with me.
Everyone's taking notes? Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, and David.
Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, and David are the four wheels of the divine chariot. Yes? They carry a Kadosh Baruch Hu through this world. So, Ein Simcha El B'Basar V'Yayin. Basar is 502, the years of Avos. Yayin is 70, the years of David HaMelech. Okay? What's the gematria of Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, David? No, that's the years of their lives. What's the gematria of their names? Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, David. Nope. These are the four wheels of the Merkava Shlema, of the complete chariot, the divine chariot of Hashem.
248.
Okay, 248. 208. 182.
And 14. Again, these are the four wheels. Hashem can't, kiviyachol, travel through this world without the tzaddikim. Without the Merkava Shlema, without the complete chariot, you need all four wheels. A wagon with three wheels doesn't work. David and Malach replaced, Esav could have been the fourth wheel. They got replaced by David. Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, and David. 652.
652.
What's 652? You don't have to know this one. No, you don't. There's numbers you have to know, numbers you don't have to know. I mean, you have to know everything. 652 is the gematria of Merkava Shlema. Merkava Shlema, the complete chariot. Because Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, David are the Merkava Shlema. So the Sfarim say that Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, David is Gematria Merkava Shlema, the complete chariot. Okay? What else is 502? Tell me some other 502s. Yeah?
So it's big in Purim.
It's big in Purim. Yeah, why is it big in Purim? What's the Gematria of Arur Haman? 502. What's the Gematria of Baruch Mordechai? 502. Yeah? Our Amuna is rooted in the Avos. So we've said in the past, what's the Gematria of Amuna Pshuta? 502. Okay, so these are some of the 502s we need to know. How do we get sidetracked with this? Because we were talking about the exiles of Jewish history. So we said Edom plus Yishmael is 502. I think that's unbelievable. The final gullus that we're in now, Edom, right, Christianity and Islam, battling it out on the world stage with Klal Yisrael sandwiched in the middle, Edom plus Yishmael is 502. I think that's an unbelievable remez. It's a gematria of the years of the Avos. Okay? Fine, so let's go on. So it says the B'nai Yisachar, Mitzrayim is not even one of the exiles. It's the root of all gullus. It's where it all stems from. The Dalad Malchios, Asher Hichbidu Ulam Al Yisrael. Yeah, anyone who came in late, there's copies over here. Oh, you got one? You grabbed one on the way? Can you just pass them around? Anyone else need one? Everyone else has? Okay, we're in the bottom left-hand paragraph on page one. So he says, three lines into the bottom paragraph, again, the Arba Malchios asher hechbidu ulam al Yisrael. Kol echad min ha-arba Malchios hayimenage lo'ez echad min Hashem, kiviyachol. Hashem Havai. Says the B'nai Yisachar, there's four exiles, and there's four letters in God's name. Yud, Kei, Vav, Kei. Yud, Hei, Vav, and Hei. So the four exiles correspond to the four letters of Hashem's name. Yeah? In order. Let's assume it's in order. So Bavel is Yod, and Madai is Hey, and Yavan is Vav. Yavan is Vav. And now we're in the final Gullus. We're in the Gullus of Hey. We're in the final Hey. Okay? So where's Mitzrayim? So we've spoken in the past about fours and fives. Whatever there appears to be four, there's really five. There's a story that the B'nai Yisachar tells in his Sefer Agra de Pirka. He tells a maisa with Rav Menachem Mendel of Premishlan. Rav Menachem Mendel of Premishlan was once traveling with some of his chassidim, and they came to a kretschmir, they came to an inn, a tavern, and they wanted a drink. So the rabbi said to the waiter, to the bartender, "Can we have? We'd like to have five pitchers of beer for the price of four." So he said, "Sorry, it's not happy hour. You know, there's no discounts." So the rabbi says, "I want five for four. I want five for the price of four." Putting up a whole fight, and everyone's like, "What's going on here?" So one of the chassidim says to the owner of this inn, he says, "Listen, our rabbi has deep ways of doing things. He always has deep ideas in mind. Just we'll pay you the extra ruble, whatever it is, extra kopeck. Just tell him you're giving him to rabbi. I'll give you a deal. I'll give you five for the price of four." So finally, he says, "Okay, rabbi, I'll give you five for the price of four." So Menachem Mendel Permishlan gets up out of his seat and he says, "Ah, Yehei Rava, he writes on that the whole world would recognize 5 for 4. That's the story. So what's the secret of 5 for 4? Whenever it looks like there's 4 dimensions, there's always a 5th dimension. So for example, right? It looks like there's 4 letters of Hashem's name, but there's really a 5th dimension in Hashem's name. Right? There's a yud and a hey and a vav and a hey. Where's the 5th hidden dimension of Hashem's name? The point on top of the yud, the kutz shel yud, is considered a 5th dimension. Okay? There are 4 exiles in Jewish history. So it seems. Bavel, Madai, Yavan, and Edom. But really, we're learning that there's a root. There's a 5th, which is Mitzrayim. So Mitzrayim corresponds to that point on top of the yud. Right? There are 5 books of the Torah. That also corresponds to these 5 dimensions. It looks like there are 4 types of beings in the world, or 4 types of, 4 levels of creation in the world. There's inanimate objects, there's plants, there's animals, and there's people. But the Kuzari says that Yisrael is really a different madriga. The Jewish people, right, are not just, a certain type of people. We're a different type of people. We're a 5th dimension. So there's always a hidden 5th dimension. Right? It has to do with the Pesach Seder, there's 4 cups of wine, and then there's that 5th cup of wine, which is the cup of Eliyahu, which we're not exactly sure what that's about. That also represents this hidden 5th dimension. Okay? So look what he says. Look what he writes here. He says, the 4 exiles correspond to the 4 letters of Hashem's name. Asher Yisrael dveikim bo al yedei ma'aseim. And when the Jewish people are connected to Hashem, we're connected to the letters of Hashem's name. And in each exile, we're trying to be metakein, we're trying to fix a different letter of Hashem's name. Yeah? Da'at amar va'atem advekim ba'Hashem Elokeichem. We cling to Hashem. Literally, to the letters of Hashem's name. Our life's experience is defined by the letters of Hashem's name. Yud and Hey and Vav and Hey. V'golis Mitzrayim mineged lebechina elyona hi kutzo shel yud. So there's 4 letters, 4 obvious letters of God's name correspond to the 4 exiles that are spoken about by Chazal. But we know there's something completely missing here. The biggest thing is missing. What's the biggest thing? Mitzrayim, the root of it all. The yud has a point on top. The letter yud, the way that it's written in the Sefer Torah, has a little point on top. We call that the kutzo shel yud. Right? This. Kutzo shel yud, the point on top of the yud. Yeah? The point on top of the yud, which is the root, is really the beginning point of Hashem's name. That's treated almost as a 5th dimension, a separate dimension. And it corresponds to the 5th exile, the root of all exile, which is Mitzrayim. So says the Bnei Yisachar, an amazing thing. V'galus Mitzrayim, 4 lines from the bottom. Mineged lebechina el yona hi kutzo shel yud. That Mitzrayim corresponds to the point on top of the yud. Right? The root of all godliness in the world. And the root of all gullus in the world. That's why the Sfarim say, what's the gematria of Mitzrayim? Mitzrayim is the same gematria as Shechina. Because Shechina is the Kodesh Baruch Hu's manifestation in the world. Right? Shechina is what? 385? Shechina, 385. So Mitzrayim is also 385. Right? The Jews went Mitzrayim. It always says we went down Mitzrayim. It doesn't say Mitzrayim, it says Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim is gematria Shechina. Right? So to speak, as you begin to write Hashem's name, you start to write the letter Yud, that first little point that's coming down, representing a Kodesh Baruch Hu's presence, descending, emanating into this world. Mitzrayim corresponds to that Kutz Shel Yud. That's what we call it, the Kutz Shel Yud. The point on top of the Yud. So look what the Bnei Yisachar says, an amazing remez, amazing idea. He says again, Mitzrayim is against the Kutz Shel Yud, Shu Shoresh La'arba Osios Hey, right, Yud Kei Vav Kei. That point on top of the yod is the starting point of the 4 letters which correspond to the 4 exiles. Vizes sod, and this is the secret, he says 2 lines from the bottom. What we find in the beginning of Shemos, how did the Egyptians feel about Klal Yisrael? Vayakutsu mipnei bnei Yisrael. What's the pashup shot? What does vayakutsu mean? What's the pashup shot? Vayakutsu, they were disgusted by us, right? They were disgusted by the Jews. But says the Bnei Yisachar, no, that's very, we don't find that word in the Torah, it's a weird word. Vayakutsu. Why is it Vayakutsu? Because what does Mitzrayim correspond to? The Kotz Shel Yud. Vayakutsu. Vayakutsu mipnei Bnei Yisrael. They were disgusted by Bnei Yisrael. Vayakutsu, the Kotz Shel Yud. The point on top of the Yud. That's what Mitzrayim corresponds to. So the Torah doesn't just say the Egyptians hated us, right? It doesn't say they oppressed us. It's a Vayakutsu. It's a strange word. We were Meshukats. Kutz, because Mitzrayim corresponds to that kutz shaliyah. However, you're not smiling, so which means you're not getting this. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah, how could you not smile if you heard what I just said? Yeah? Again, there's four letters in Hashem's name, but there's a hidden fifth dimension, that point on top of the yud. The point on top of the yud, which I drew on the board. What do we call the point on top of the yud? The kutz shel yud. Yeah? Kutz shel yud. The point on top of the yud. So in Mitzrayim, which we said corresponds to that point on top of the yud, how does it describe their animosity towards Klal Yisrael, the hatred of the Jewish people? It says, Vayakutsu. Why does it say Vayakutsu? Because Vayakutsu, the Kutz Shal Yud, Mitzrayim corresponds to the Kutz Shal Yud. No? No one?
Why does Mitzrayim...
Shall I ask? We're here to learn.
No, because I understand what you said before, that like the Kutz like is on top, so like when you're coming...
That's that first, right. That's the starting point of the four letters of Hashem's name. Just like Mitzrayim is the starting point of all four exiles. Mitzrayim is the root of Jews being in Gullus.
So, by the Torah saying,
so when it says that when it's hinting to us, when the Mitzrayim despised us with that lashon, Vayakutsu mipnei b'nei Yisrael, right? It doesn't say about Bavel that Vayakutsu. It doesn't say about the Yevanim that Vayakutsu. Vayakutsu is very specific to Mitzrayim because Mitzrayim corresponds. Vayakutsu literally means they were repulsed by us. They were disgusted by us. But he uses that unusual word Vayakutsu because Mitzrayim themselves correspond. They're the ones who are, so to speak, fighting against the Kutz Shal Yud. So Vayakutsu. Isaac, you want to ask?
Where is that?
Two lines from the bottom of the first page. Vayakutsu mipnei b'nei Yisrael. Right? The pasuk in Shemos Perek Aleph, pasuk Yud Beis. Right at the beginning of Shemos, as the Jews are starting to lose the relationship with the Egyptians. Vayakutsu. Okay? V'havein, and he says, understand this well, because it's a deep secret. Also, the five correspond to the five books of the Torah. Right? So Mitzrayim is Keneged Bereishis, the Kutz Shal Yud. Okay. Fine, let's keep going. Im kein begos Mitzrayim hayuklulim kol ha'ar begalios. So what we're saying is that the same way, the mashal I always give you, the same way that the apples that you're buying in the fruit store came from a tree, which came from a seed, which came from an apple, which came, right? Meaning there's an apple seed, and contained within that seed is what? The future tree, with all the future leaves and the future apples, which contain future seeds, which contain the potential for more apples. It's all contained within that first seed. So Mitzrayim is the seed of Golus, from which all four exiles sprout. The four exiles sprout, so to speak, from Mitzrayim. So within Mitzrayim, says the Bnei Yisrael, is contained, found within Mitzrayim, so to speak, are all four other exiles, wrapped up within Mitzrayim. Ah, good question. Right. So who's the fifth? If we say that these, so we didn't really match up these four. These are the four. It's a good question. Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, David. We say, right, it's Gematria Merkava Shalema. They make up the four wheels of Hashem's Merkava, Hashem's chariot, whatever that means, Kabbalistically, very deep ideas. Right? In terms of the four exiles, and we'll get to this in a couple of minutes, we usually say, the Zohar says, that it's Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, and Moshe. It's Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Moshe. Right? Moshe is, so to speak, the final redeemer, which is why Moshe is also, in Mitzrayim, Moshe was also the redeemer. So Moshe starts us off, and Moshe, whatever that means, Moshe, who's no longer alive, ends us off. Right? That the final Geula is somehow connected to the root of Geula. So Moshe begins the process and ends the process. But I'm going to come back to that in a few minutes and tell you something very interesting. Right, so Mashiach also is sort of the fifth dimension on the bottom end of things. And we'll come to that also. We'll get to that in a minute. I'll just tell you another B'nai Yisrael that I sort of mentioned on Sunday, but we'll say it again in a different way. The B'nai Yisrael asks, later in his Ma'amarim, he says, why is the hero of the Hanukkah story, why is the leader of the Jewish people, B'mei Matisyahu ben Yochanan? Why is the hero, right, named Matisyahu? In Maimer Dalet, in Os Yud Aleph, the B'nai Yisrael says, why is the B'mei Matisyahu? It doesn't just say, Matisyahu happened to play. It says Bimei Matisyahu. Dafka, the tefillah, we say Bimei Matisyahu. It's Dafka, the Indian of, somehow Matisyahu is deeply connected to this. So we pointed out that Matisyahu is Gematria Beis HaMikdash. Because Matisyahu is going to help to restore the Beis HaMikdash. Okay. But says the Bnei Sasser, no, I'll tell you like this. The four exiles correspond to the four letters of Hashem's name. So that means Bavel again is Yud, Madai is Hei, and Yavan is Vav. So he says, look at the name Matisyahu. You know what Matisyahu is? Matizyahu is matat yud hey vav. Because by Galus Yavan, we fixed three letters out of four letters of Hashem's name. He writes, Ratzalomer, Matisyahu, Ratzalomer. Right? Matat yud hey vav. Sha neshama hazos haba b'dor ahu. Matat, right, matat. It's matana for the world. Matisyahu, matas yud hey vav. Because those first three letters, of, right, by the time we finished Galus Yavan, we fixed three letters of Hashem's name. Yud hey vav. Matisyahu, yud hey vav. That's how many letters of his name we fixed. Then he goes on and he points out that Chanukah is a preparation for Mashiach. Right? Chanukah is a chinuch, it's training ourselves for Mashiach. So he says the gematria of Matisyahu, 861, is the same as the two names of Mashiach. What are the names of Mashiach? We know there's two Mashiach. There's Mashiach ben Yosef and Mashiach ben David. So he tells us again, based on very deep sources, that the names of the two Mashiachs are Nechemiah ben Chushiel and Menachem ben Amiel. Nechemiah ben Chushiel and Menachem ben Amiel. So Nechemiah ben Chushiel and Menachem ben Amiel is also Gematria 861. It's Gematria Matisyahu. Why? Because Chanukah is a chinuch, it's a training for Mashiach. So the names of Mashiach, Nechemiah ben Chushiel and Menachem ben Amiel, are 861. Yeah? So Matisyahu is 861. The Beis Hamikdash is 861. Asaf is 861. Right, and Asaf is 861. Alright, so Hatisyahu is 861. The Beis Hamikdash is 861. And Nechemiah ben Chushiel plus Menachem ben Amiel is 861. And B'nai Yisrael writes elsewhere, he says, who announces the arrival of Mashiach ben Yosef, Mashiach ben David? Eliyahu. So when you add Eliyahu, you add another 52, you get 913, which, you know the number 913. What's 913? Bereishis. So in the three, when Eliyahu comes and announces the arrival of Mashiach, then the world is back to where it's supposed to be, and everything comes full circle. The Sfarim HaKadoshim tell us that the names of Mashiach ben Yosef and Mashiach ben David are Nechemiah ben Chushiel and Menachem ben Amiel. What that means, I don't know. But that's what we find in very deep Sfarim that the B'nai Yisrael quotes for us.
So why does everybody name their kids Chushiel and
Amiel? Go for it. Here's Hashem Vayu.
Or Asaf.
Everyone understands how Asaf is 861? Because Peso Feet is 800. So Asaf is also 861. Rosh Hashanah is also 861, because again, it's about bringing things full circle, back to the beginning. Okay, so Matisyahu is Matat Yod Hei Vav, because Galus Yavan corresponds to the Vav. We're three letters into fixing the four letters of Hashem's name during the four exiles. Yeah. I can't, because I don't know anything about them. All I tell you is that the Svarim say that the names of Mashiach ben Yosef and Mashiach ben David are Nechemiah ben Chushiel and Menachem ben Amiel. All I can tell you is that's what it says in Sefer Kabbalah, and it's quoted by Sefer Chassidus, because I don't learn Kabbalah. But B'nai Yisrael quotes it. Okay, so the two names of Mashiach, and it fits. Why is it Gematria Matisyahu? Because Bimei Matisyahu. The whole miracle of Chanukah was Dafka Bimei Matisyahu. Chanukah is training for Mashiach. It's getting ourselves ready for Mashiach. So it makes sense that the hero of Chanukah is rooted, is somehow deeply connected to Mashiach itself, to the two names of Mashiachs. Okay. So let's turn the page. Let's go to the top of the next page. So the B'nai Yisrael says, again, the root of all galus is Mitzrayim, which means Mitzrayim has to contain, somehow Mitzrayim has to have all four exiles within it. The same way the apple seed produces the future apple trees and apples and the fruit and the further seeds, it's all found within that first apple seed. So B'nai Yisrael says on the top of the next page, Vayehi bayamim harabim. So I told you this Ramaz yesterday. Vayehi bayamim harabim was during those many days. That's what the Pasuk says at the beginning of Shemos, describing our experience in Mitzrayim. It was during those yamim harabim, during those many days. So he quotes from the Megala Mukos. Mitzrayim was yamim rabim. What is rabim? He says in the second line, rabim is Rashi Tevos. Romi, Bavel, Yavan, Madai. that contained within Mitzrayim are all four exiles. Mitzrayim was Yomim Rabim, it was many days. It was all-encompassing days. Because Mitzrayim is the apple seed from which all four exiles sprout. So Vayihi Bayomim HaRabim, Rabim is Rashi Tevos, Romi Bavel Yavon Madai. Okay? V'hinei b'nfol ha-shoresh yiplu ha-anafim b'meila. So says the B'nai Yisachar, when the root of the tree is uprooted, then the branches, memela, fall away. So the same way that we won in Mitzrayim, right? It has to be that we're going to win in the other four exiles. We beat Mitzrayim already, right? We won. We experienced Geula. We experienced Geulas Mitzrayim. So when we uproot the Shoresh, we'll uproot all the branches as well. Al kein hu sam yisod musa b'torah sein rakadosha zichron yitzias Mitzrayim. Shebezen yivosha mikol ha-galuyos. Now you have a new understanding of saying Shema every day of your life. Why do we have Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim on a daily basis? Because when we remember the exile from Mitzrayim, it can get us out of anything. Yetzias Mitzrayim contains within it the root of all redemption. So when we mention on a daily basis getting out of Mitzrayim, right, says the B'nai Yisachar, included within that is all of the galios. When you uproot the root, you uproot all the rest of the tree. So on a daily basis, we remind ourselves, no matter what galos we're in, throughout history, when Jews were in Bavel, when Jews were in Madai, suffering under Achashverosh and Haman, when Jews were struggling in Hanukkah, when the second base of Mikdash was being destroyed, and Klai Yisrael were being exiled. Yeah? Through all those generations, we always remind ourselves of what? Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim. That we got out of Mitzrayim, and just like we got out of Mitzrayim, we're going to get out of the rest of them. V'hinei kosav harav agadol baal gur aryeh. He quotes from the author of the Gur Aryeh. Who wrote the Sefer Gur Aryeh? The Gur Aryeh is a super commentary on Rashi. Who wrote it? The Maharal of Prague. He says the author of the Gur Aryeh, in his Sefer Ner Mitzvah, is referring to the Maharal. The Maharal in his Sefer Ner Mitzvah, which is about Chanukah and exile, he writes there, Inyan Ha'arba Malchios. He describes the four exiles. Dihinei ba'adam yesh koach gufani v'koach nafshi v'koach sichli v'koach el yona kol el kulam. Okay, number them 1, 2, 3, 4. Within a person, there's a koach gufani. There's a koach nafshi, 2. There's a koach sichli, 3. And then there's an all-encompassing koach that somehow binds together the entire person. Yeah? V'yatziva milsadana la'atoi me'etz ha'chaim. And he says this matter will make a lot of sense for those who study the works of the Eitz Chaim, of the Arizal. Koach ha'gufani hu nefesh ha'domemis shabadim. Right? The guf, the power of the guf, refers to just the physical, inanimate body of man. Without a soul, my body can't move at all. Nafshi is the nefesh hatzomeches shabo. Right? Nafshi, nefesh, the level of nefesh, refers to, so to speak, the tzmicha. Right? Again, within the world, there are four, all of creation is divided into four categories. Yeah? Domein, tzomeha, chai, and then medaber. Midaber. Yeah, that's how we refer to them. Domim is inanimate objects. Right? Domim is this chair that I'm touching. So Meach refers to plant life, which is certainly more alive than a rock. Chai refers to animal life, which is certainly more alive than a plant. And then Midaber, speaking human beings, right? The power of speech, which makes us unique. And we said Yisrael is really a fifth dimension. So he says, within a person, you have four different kochos that correspond to these different levels of creation. He says you have the koach ha-gufni, you have a body, a physical body, right, which is made up of the same material that earth is made up of. Right, it's inanimate. So that corresponds to the domim shabo. Nafshi is the nefesh ha-tzomeches shabo. Right? Nafshi is the level of tzomeach, plant life. Sichlis, the fact that my mind, I have an intelligent mind, that's the nefesh hachiyunis shabo. That's chai. Right? Like an animal. An animal can think. Can't think like a human being. And then koach hakolel nefesh hamidaberes shabo nearly. And then the all-encompassing, again, there are four kochos in man. Guf, nefesh, seichel, and an all-encompassing koach. So he says these correspond, right, to these four elements. Domeim, there's an inanimate part of myself. There's a animal part of myself. There's a plant-like part of myself. And then the fact that I can speak, the fact that I have the power of speech, he says, that is the what? That's the koach ha'elyon. That's the all-encompassing koach. Some type of energy that binds together all of my kochos. I think it fits beautifully to explain that what? To explain that speech is the all-encompassing, right? He's saying level four, this koach elyon, this all-encompassing koach, corresponds to the ability to speak. Understand what I'm hinting to? That the all-encompassing koach of man is his ability to speak. What's the all-encompassing mitzvah? Talmud Torah, Keneged Kulam. What's the all-encompassing avera? Talmud Yerushalmi says the all-encompassing avera is Lashon Hara, Keneged Kulam. So speech is all-encompassing. When a person uses his speech in a positive way for Torah, that's the all-encompassing mitzvah. When I use my speech, God forbid, for Lashon Hara, that's the all-encompassing avera. So it makes sense, like he's explaining here, he says, Nirali, but I think we could add to that by explaining that Dibur, again, is the all-encompassing expression of man. It's not just something that separates us from the animals, right? But in terms of mitzvah observance and averos, the all-encompassing mitzvah is Torah, and the all-encompassing avera is Lashon Hara. Okay? So now, says the Bnei Yisachar, let me show you how these four kochos that the Maharal talks about, these four elements within man, correspond also to the four exiles. Let's see quickly. V'nei Malchus Bavel, hu menaged l'koach ha'nafshi. Bavel corresponds to number one, the nefesh. Dihinei heim hayu ha'mevatlim harishonim es avuras beis hamikdash haynu ha'karbanos. Because Bavel, Nebuchadnezzar, destroying the first base of Mikdash, they were the first ones to stop us from bringing karbanos. Va'karbanos heim takanos ha'nefesh. Why do I bring a karban? As the blood of the animal is being spilled. Ki adam hu ha'nefesh. Right? As I'm sprinkling this blood of this animal on the Mizbeach, it's a kapara for my nefesh. So the Babylonians, who stopped the base of Mikdash, who stopped the bringing of karbanos, the first ones to do that, they correspond to nefesh. As a nefesh is the carbon. A nefesh ki sakriv. Right? When a person brings a carbon, he's giving of himself. Madai Purim hu meneged l'koach gufani. Madai corresponds to the koach of the guf. Why? Because what did Haman want to do? Shayu chafetzim la'abed ha'gufos. Gazru la'hashmin la'harug la'abed. They wanted to destroy us physically. So madai corresponds to the koach ha'gufni. Yavan hu meneged l'koach ha'sichli. Yavan corresponds to seichel, intellect. Right? That's why Yavan came with all their falsified philosophies. Shehi Torah Seinu, that corresponds to our Torah. Shehi ikra chochma miyasheres ha'seichel. Torah is the ultimate wisdom to straighten out one's mind. Heim ratu b'chachmasum chitonias ha'filosofis levat l'michachmas ha'Torah. And they wanted that their Greek philosophy should replace our pure Torah seichel. And lastly, the exile that we're in today, the fourth and final galus, corresponds to the all-encompassing koach. Again, he referred to it originally as what? As a koach elyon, hakolel kulam. A koach elyon, hakolel kulam. An all-encompassing element. U'malchus haravi is he, this malchus that we're in today, hamedaka v'ramas hakula, right? The one that is the most crushing of all. Again, this is the longest exile, 1900 plus years. So this is the all-encompassing final stage of Gullus. V'hi ha-menugedes l'nefesh ha-koleles, ha-elyonos asher hi koleles kol ha-kochos, v'hi mechaveres osam. This is the all-encompassing, koach. So I'll tell you two really cool things that I just thought of. Who's Rome? Who's Rome today? Who's Edom today? This is the fourth Gauls. Who is it? It's America, no? Right? So America is the remnant of Rome, is Edom. Yeah? It's the all-encompassing. It's the all-encompassing Gauls, the final Gauls. Why does it fit beautifully with what he just explained? What is America? Right? Look what he said. He said, this is the Koach, that's what? That's Mechaberes Osam. It brings together Asher hi koleles kol ha-kochos v'mechaberes Osam. It brings together all the different dimensions and molds them together. That's what America is, no? Isn't that what America is? Isn't that what America's prides itself upon? No? The melting pot, bringing together all sorts of peoples and different things. It's kolelis, it's ma'achid, all sorts of thing. Yeah, the United States. United States. That it's ma'achid, things together, pulls things together. How many states are there?
50.
Why 50 states? Now I'm already together Purim Torah. The Shechina Rebbe once said a Torah on 50 states. But I'll say right now, on, right? It's right? What's the gematria of Kol? 50. Chaf Lamed, Kol. Right? The Koach HaElyon, this Koach that's Kol, that brings together all the pieces. Yeah? It's 50. So the 50 states represents this Koach HaElyon, this Koach HaKloli, this Kol, all-encompassing Koach. Okay? But that sounds a shtickle like Purim Torah, so I'll make it a little better. We said before, on the right-hand side of the board, that the four exiles correspond to Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Moshe. So I'll tell you a few very interesting things. Number one, let's review an Or HaChaim from last year, Parshas Tetzaveh. The Or HaChaim HaKadosh says in Parshas Tetzaveh that the final Golus is corresponds to Moshe, which means the final Golus is dependent upon the Midah of Moshe, which is Torah. And the Or HaChaim HaKadosh says the only reason we're still sitting here in Washington Heights is because we're not serious about our learning. If we would get more serious about our Torah, then Moshe, the final Redeemer, would come. But he's not going to come. The Lashon of the Or HaChaim HaKadosh is that Moshe's not going to disgrace himself and come redeem a nation that's not connected to Torah. It's a Torah's Moshe. Moshe says, I can't help a Jew who's not connected to Torah. So Golus Edom corresponds to Torah. Corresponds to Moshe Rabbeinu, corresponds to Torah. So first of all, it fits beautifully with what we just said a moment ago. Right? We said that the fourth and final dimension, this Koach Helion HaKolel Kulam, that brings together everything, that brings together all the pieces. So we said, again, that corresponds to speech. And we said the biggest mitzvah you can do is Talmud Torah, Keneged Kulam. Lashon Hara, Keneged Kulam. Yeah. So Golus Edom, this fourth and final Golus, which is the Golus of Moshe Rabbeinu, the Golus of Torah, requires us to use this koach that's kolel everything, the koach adibur, to use it to speak Torah. The Shemi Shmuel sort of says what I'm saying. Because again, a new type, a new way to understand. V'talmud Torah keneged kulam. How do you learn Talmud Torah keneged kulam? What's the pashup shah? Talmud Torah keneged kulam. Pashup shah, Talmud Torah is the best mitzvah, it's the biggest mitzvah. It's the all-encompassing mitzvah. Which again, we understand already more today because it corresponds to speech, the all-encompassing expression of man, the unifying element of man. But how else can you learn Talmud Torah keneged kulam? That Torah is the koach against, right, the all-encompassing galus, right? The Shem Yishuel says Talmud Torah is keneged kulam. Talmud Torah is how we oppose the final galus, which is the all-encompassing galus, kulam. Yeah? It's the antidote. And that's what the Or HaChaim says. That the final Golus of Moshe is dependent upon Torah. So what's the gematria of Edom? So we said before 51. Let's say it differently now. What's the gematria of Edom? What's the gematria of Edom with the Mem Sofit? What's the gematria of Edom with the Mem Sofit? How much is Mem Sofit? Mem Sofit is 600. So Edom is 611. Is gematria of Torah. Talmud Torah, can I get kulam? Edom is gematria Torah. Exactly gematria Torah. Because the way that we defeat Edom is through the Koach HaTorah. Because Talmud Torah is keneged kulam. Talmud Torah is itself all-encompassing, and it helps us to fight against the all-encompassing gullus of Edom. Okay? I told you the other day that the five fingers of the hand correspond to the five exiles. To the four exiles. I'm sorry, the thumb is Klal Yisrael, and the four fingers correspond to the four exiles. The way that it's usually brought in Svarim is that starting from the thumb being Klal Yisrael, you just go in order, 1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah, moving away from the thumb. So Bavel, Madai, Yavon, and Edom. I think you could argue on that and say different, maybe. But let's use what the Svarim say. Right? The Megala Muko says the pinky corresponds to Edom. The Zeres corresponds to Edom. There's a lot of different Torahs about that. But I realized last year, now maybe you could say a pshat, it's something that no one can say a good pshat in. Why do Jews lift up their pinky during Hagman and say, V'zos HaTorah Asher Sam Moshe? You ever see people do that? I just said, no one can say a good pshat in this. We're about to say it. We're going to say a good pshat in it. Where did that minhag come from? Why do you pick up your pinky I'd say Vizos HaTorah Asher Samosha. Because if the pinky corresponds to Galus Edom, and Edom is Gematria Torah, and the final Galus depends on Moshe Rabbeinu, the teacher of Torah, so you say Vizos HaTorah, you pick up your pinky and you point to the Torah and you say, it's Galus Edom, this is what I need to conquer. Vizos HaTorah, with this Torah, I'll be able to conquer Galus Edom. You like it? Pshat in the Minog. See, Jews do that all the time. No, Vizos HaTorah. What does the pinky have to do with the Torah? Pinky is Galus Edom. Galus Edom is dependent on Talmud Torah Keneged Kula. So we lift up our pinky to remind ourselves what we're working on. Okay? Now no one knew what we were working on, so now we know what we're working on. We can explain the Minach. Okay, Chaver, let's keep going. We have enough strength to keep going. Should we call it a day? Should we finish the piece tomorrow? Too much for one day? It's very chaval to stop here. We didn't even get to the piece yet. All we're trying to do is explain why Yaakov sent Yehuda to Goshen. But we need—he's giving us all the background and all of Gullus to understand the necessity of Yehuda going to Goshen. Okay, we'll move quickly. Let's keep going. We're in the right-hand column on page 2, and let's take it from the line that begins Al Kain. So again, we've explained. Let me just take a half a step back and say like this. The beginning of something is always all-encompassing, and the end of something is always all-encompassing. So we explained how Mitzrayim gives birth to the four exiles. Mitzrayim being the root produces, right, the four dimensions. But the end of something is also all-encompassing. Yeah? If I were to ask you, what's more important, the beginning or the end of something, right? The way it starts or the way it ends? You could argue both. You could say the way you start something is so important, it sets the tone. Or it doesn't matter how you start, as long as you finish strong. Right? The beginning is very important, and the end is very important. That's the machlokas Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai says, start Chanukah with 8 candles. Start off your best. And Beis Hillel says, no, end off your best. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Okay? But beginnings and ends are both very important. So what's the beginning of Galus? Mitzrayim. And we said Mitzrayim contains within it all 4 exiles to come. Right? Romi, Bavel, Yavan, Madai. Bayamim HaRabim. It was during those all-encompassing days. But now we're saying that the end, the last Gullus, which is Edom, is also all-encompassing. Yeah? So now he's going to explain how Edom is all-encompassing. So look, Al-Kain, the line that begins Al-Kain, halfway down the column, a little more than halfway down. Al-Kain, Malchus, Haravias, Minagedes, Leguf, Lanefesh, V'laseichel. Why is America, it's not just a melting pot of peoples, it's a melting pot of all sorts of different types, right? It's not like one, it's not one way that we're going to be destroyed spiritually in America. Galus Edom. It happens to be nowadays we have our religious freedom, which is not something we take for granted. We appreciate that. But let's not kid ourselves that there were Roman crusaders who were more than happy to slaughter Jews. And they were more than happy to assimilate Jews. And they're more than happy to uproot our Torah values. So he says this final Galus corresponds to Guf, Nefesh, and Seichel. Hey Reyu Lanu Mikol Malchei Adama. And therefore it's the worst of all. Galus Edom has everything. It's the worst of everything. It encompasses everything. Yeah? At the beginning of their dominance against us, first they stopped the Beis HaMikdash. So that's the nefesh. Then they killed us. So that was the guf. Right, they murdered Jews in cold blood. And the streets were filled with blood. And of course, in addition to that, 3 lines from the bottom. Hine zos hi k'ein asiyas malchus madai. Right? So they killed us in the way that Haman, the second Gullus, tried to physically kill us. Va'achar kach b'yameinu zeh. And nowadays, in America, we have our religious freedom. They're not trying to kill us. They're not trying to physically kill us. Right? They're not destroying the Beis HaMikdash anymore because that's already been destroyed. So what do we face today? Today we face the Yavan within Edom. We face the spiritual destruction. Right? Within Edom. Today, in the American universities, our ideas are challenged. Our way of thinking, our belief in God is challenged. Right? Philosophies being replaced with other philosophies. That's Yavan. Menagdim osanu, top of the left column. And they fill us up with all sorts of external wisdom. Okay, and that's what we're trying to fight against today. So therefore, the fourth Galus is all-encompassing. It has elements of Bavel, it has elements of Madai, it has elements of Yavan. And that's what we're battling today. Yeah.
I hope this is relevant, but I think this is especially appropriate why that one is today. I'm not sure.
Let's hear it.
About the Yom Kippur going after religious liberty.
That's what we're holding today?
Literally today, the Supreme Court is listening to the case of the gay guy who didn't want to, the baker who didn't want to bake
right.
the cake for the
right.
gay wedding. And like, if they force him to bake the cake,
right.
Right.
Religious oppression. Government takes over our religious rights. Yeah.
Bounce.
Okay. So we're living in it. This is the Yavon of Edom. Right. This is the Yavon of Edom. Okay. Skip to the end of that paragraph. Go to the next paragraph. Okay. And now we can really get back to where we started. Vineya arba malchus. Everyone, see where we are. The second paragraph in the left column on page 2. Vineya arba malchus heima kamin bekoach haklipos al Yisrael. Wrote some Levato ha'achdus chas v'shalom. Right? The Jewish people have an unbelievable unity, and Galus pulls us in different directions. Yeah, we get scattered to the four corners of the earth. That's why we daven mekabetz nidche amo Yisrael, mekabetz, to gather in. There's a lot to say about that word mekabetz, but we'll save it for another time. Have to save it for another. Mekabetz is gematria yihi or, because right tohu vavo v'choshech al pnei sahom v'yomer Elokim yihi or. 232, Mekabetz. There's a kavan on that. The four names of Hashem is Gematria 232. But we'll skip that. We'll skip that for now. So again, but we know that there's a oneness that we're striving for. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Vayomahu Yeh Hashem Echad Ushmo Echad. Everything's about Echad. So there's a oneness that we're trying to maintain. And the Jews get scattered to various Golios, the four corners of the earth. And the world is pulling us apart. And when we're in Gullis, when Jews are scattered, there's no oneness in the world. There's no singular recognition of Hashem. And yet we, the Jewish people, are clinging to oneness. We try to hold on to that oneness. So says the Bnei Yisrael, why are there specifically four exiles in Jewish history? Why aren't there 12 exiles in Jewish history? Why aren't there 7 exiles in Jewish history? Why are there 4 exiles? Chazal always talk about the Arba Golios, the Arba Malchios. Why 4? Because 4 is the number that always represents Pirud, separation. And the 4, again, scattered in the Arba Kitzvos Ares, the 4 corners of the earth. What does that mean, corners? The world is round. What do you mean, the 4 corners of the earth? But we always talk about the 4 corners of the earth. Right? So the number 4 represents, again, scattered in all 4 directions. In all 4 directions. V'zeo she'omer ha'kasu, v'yiru yoshevei kitzavos, me'oso secha. The pasuk says, right, compares the 4 corners, the kitzvos, the extremes, the ends, to the osios. Okay. V'yisrael heim nekuda ha'em tzas. And we're the middle point. If we were to draw, again, a box.
Like the sukkahs we've been drawing. Yeah? So each of the... Each of the four sides, again, not the top and the bottom, but each of the 4 directions represent a scattering in the 4 directions. And we, so to speak, the Jewish people, we're the middle point. We're the middle point upon which the whole thing revolves. You could draw the middle point like that. You could also draw the middle point like that. It starts to look a little bit like something we know this time of the year. It starts to look like a dreidel. We'll get back to that. It has a lot to do with the dreidel. The 4 sides of the dreidel spinning on that one central point. We'll get there. So let's keep going. So he says again, there are 4 exiles, there are 4 different directions, we're being pulled in all different directions, and the goal is what? The goal is to try to bring it all back together to a certain degree of achdus. Right? Vayomahu yeh Hashem achad u'shmo achad. Okay, turn to the last page. I'm going to keep us moving so we can finish up. So again, we're trying to maintain a oneness of the 4 letters of Hashem's name, that Hashem should be echad, that 4 should be one, 4 letters of God's name should be one, and the Umas HaOlam are pulling us in 4 different directions. Okay, now we're ready for the punchline. Let's bring it to Hanukkah, and let's bring it to the pasuk that we started with. Yeah.
Question on that.
Yeah, please.
We're talking about, before, Matisyahu, he's going to come, whatever.
Right, Matisyahu is...
Or some of Mashiach, but isn't one of the cases when, Mashiach's going to come is when, all Jews are separated throughout the world, we all get separated, and then,
So it could be. It could be. Mashiach has many different. The Chazal describe very different possibilities of how Mashiach comes. It could be. It could be at times when we're gathering. It could be when we're scattered. It could be when we're chayiv, when we're guilty. It could be when we're zakai, when we're innocent. So it's hard to answer that question. It is hard to answer that question. But there's no question that galus causes pirud. Galus causes separation, causes distancing from Hashem, from Torah, and from one another. Especially this final galus, right? The all-encompassing galus. If the very essence of galus is that what? It causes us to become disconnected. So certainly the last galus, what caused the final galus? Sinas chinam. Lack of achdus, lack of Jews showing love and camaraderie for one another. Okay, so let's turn to the final page and let's read the paragraph, the second paragraph, Vihinei. Right? The first full paragraph on the page. Vihinei yadua de la'asid lavo b'mehera b'yameinu. Tia haschalas ha'geula al yedei Mashiach ben Yosef. We know that Galus comes to an end or begins to come to an end through two Mashiachs. First, Mashiach ben Yosef. Okay, it's discussed in the fifth parak of our Masechta in Sukkah. In the fifth parak, it talks about Mashiach ben Yosef. There's not a lot of Talmudic literature about Mashiach ben Yosef. But in the fifth parak of Sukkah, it talks about Mashiach ben Yosef coming first and then Mashiach ben David coming second. So the beginning of Geula starts with Mashiach ben Yosef. V'haya beis Yaakov eish Ubeis Yosef lahava, Ubeis Esav lakash. That Rashi appears, not surprisingly. Sorry, that pasuk appears, not surprisingly, in Rashi at the beginning of this week's parsha. Parsha's Vayeshev. Rashi gives a mashal of a camel that's carrying flax, and it lights on fire. I told you we're gonna have a Chanukah shir about camels, no? It's a lot to do with that Rashi. Camel carrying flax and it catches on fire. And then Rashi brings this pasuk, V'haya beis Yaakov eish. Yaakov is an eish, and Yosef is a lahava. An eish means a fire, a lahava means a flame. A flame shoots out of the fire. The same way that Yosef shoots out of Yaakov. Eila told us Yaakov, Yosef. Yosef is what emerges from Yaakov. Yosef being the hero of Chanukah, as we mentioned yesterday, on Sunday. So he says, V'haya beis Yaakov eish, who beis Yosef lahava, and Esav is lakash. Esav is kash. What is kash? Straw. Meaning what? That Yaakov and Yosef are going to burn up Esav. Right? Yaakov and Yosef are going to consume, are going to burn up Esav. I'll just tell you one quick remez. Sfarim point out that lakash, that Esav is lakash. Lamed kuf shin. So the Sfarim say lakash is Rashi Tevos for a famous phrase that has a lot to do with Chanukah. Right? Chazal say, explaining the pasuk, Ketz sam lachoshech. When Yosef himself was sitting in a dark dungeon, the Medrash brings the pasuk, Ketz sam lachoshech. Yosef's trying to get out of jail. He's telling the baker, don't forget about me. I try to remember me. Chazal say, Ketz sam lachoshech. Ketz means an end. Sam has been set. Right? Sin mem. Sam lachoshech. A set time has been created for the darkness. Meaning in life, you shouldn't think that Hashem put you in gullus and didn't make a plan for a redemption. Ketz sam lachoshech. There's a set time for the darkness. So the Svarim say, Lakash is Rashi Tevos, Ketz sam lachoshech. See it? Lamed Kuf Shin, Ketz sam lachoshech. So that's very much connected to Chanukah. Again, look back on the board. Yavan is connected to Choshech. Tau, Bavel. Bahu, Madai. Choshech, Yavan. Ketz sam lachoshech. The Ur is going to drive away the darkness. So I'm also point out the gematria of Ketz Sam Lachoshech is 888, which is obviously a very Chanukah dictated number, 888, 8 and 8 and 8, which is certainly merumas to Chanukah. Okay? But says the Bnei Yisachar, V'achar kach tia gemar ha-geula b'shleimus ha-yedei Mashiach ben David. So first Yosef gets the first strike at bringing the geula, Mashiach ben Yosef, and then afterwards Mashiach ben David. Who does David come from? Haba mi Yehuda. V'tikon biyado hamalucha, and he'll establish his kingdom. So you see that Mashiach ben Yosef, Mashiach ben David, is the merger of who? Of Yosef and Yehuda. Yosef and Yehuda, that's how Geula takes place. When Yosef and Yehuda come together. Right? He says this is the secret of smichas Geula l'tfila. David Melech is tfila. David says va'ani tfila in Tehillim. Okay, go to the next paragraph. So now you understand an unbelievable secret. Chevra, Yaakov sent Yehuda to Yosef in Mitzrayim. Why did we started the shiur asking the question, why did Yaakov send Yehuda to meet up with Yosef in Mitzrayim before the Jews even came to Mitzrayim? Yehuda and Yosef have to come together. The two kochas of Mashiach have to come together in order to what? To prepare the geula before there could be even a galus, before there could be a Mitzrayim. Now we understand. When Yaakov saw we're entering into the root of all galus Mitzrayim, so he says, I need to prepare the geula. Hineas Yehuda shalach lafana vel Yosef. Yehuda, which is who David comes from, was sent to Yosef in Mitzrayim, lehoros lefanov, hainu, sheyoru haderech lefanov, to pave a path for Klal Yisrael. Hainu lechol Yisrael, haklulim bo, v'nikram al shemo Yisrael. The Yaakov wanted to make sure that there should be a plan, and where did he send him? Goshna. He sent him to Goshna. He sent Yehuda to meet up with Yosef, to prepare Goshen, Goshna, Gimel Shin Nun Hey. Says the Bnei Yisrael. Look at this, unbelievable. Hey Makitos Arba Malchios. We need to have a Goshna as a response to the four exiles. What did the Maharal of Prague tell us? That the four exiles correspond to four different kochos of a person. What are the four different kochos of the person? Says the Bnei Yisrael. Rashi Tevos, Gufani, Sichli, Nafshi, and Hakol. And the all-encompassing one. Gufani, Sichli, Nafshi, and Hakol, Goshna. That Yosef and Yehuda are preparing, the Mashiachs are preparing for the Jews to come to Goshen. Hainu Malchus HaRavias, HaKolelis Kulam, to prepare themselves for that final Golis, the one that we're in today, which is all-encompassing. Says the Bnei Yisrael, what's the gematria of Goshna? Gimel, Shin, Nun, Hey. It's exactly gematria Mashiach. So Yosef and Yehuda went ahead to prepare Goshna, to prepare for Mashiach. Amazing, no? And Gimel Shin Nun Hei stands for Gufni, Sichli, Nafshi, and Hakol. V'tizbatel Zuhamas HaNachash, and this will bring the world full circle. What's the gematria of Nachash? Also the same gematria as Mashiach. Also the same gematria as Goshna. And in this way, we'll allow Kodesh Baruch Hu to finally express himself in the world. It'll reveal to all of us that Hashem Melech, Hashem Malach, Hashem Yimloch. The Olam Va'ed. What's the gematria of Hashem Melech? Hashem Malach, Hashem Yimloch? Also, exactly gematria Mashiach. So Goshna's gematria Mashiach. It uproots the Nachash, the root of all of our problems. Right? It allows for Hashem Melech, Hashem Malach, Hashem Yimloch. It allows Hashem to rule forever. Yeah, Ben Yisrael has other Torahs about that also for another time. And that's what we're trying to accomplish. And that's what Yaakov was trying to accomplish in sending Yehuda to meet up with Yosef, Dafka, to prepare Goshna. Of course, the punchline, he says in the left-hand column, I'm not going to read it inside because I see that we've had enough, but he says in the Haggah, in the left-hand column, he says, of course, the letters on the dreidel are also Gimel, Shin, Nun, and Hey, Goshna. Because when you spin that dreidel with the four letters on the four sides, revolving, like I said, around that middle point, right, it's that reminder, again, that we're the Nekudah HaEmtzai. We're that middle point upon which all of the world in its various directions, the Kabetz Nidchei Amo Yisrael. You spin the dreidel, right? And you're hopefully spinning the wheels of Galus, moving us towards Geula. And that's why, again, the letters in the dreidel, Gimel, Shin, Nun, Hei, is Gematria Mashiach. Is Gematria Hashem Melech, Hashem Malach, Hashem Yimloch. And that's why Yaakov was, with his foresight, he was able to look into the future and to recognize the need for this. Goshna. All right. You got a question? Or you wanted to point that out? And to point it out. So Rabbi Nachman has that also. Rabbi Nachman talks about Gimel Shin Nun Hey on the dreidel, it's Gematria Mashiach. But Bnei Yisrael has it here as well. And that's, of course, the Pasuk in the Haftorah where it says you take two pieces of wood, right? And on one of them you write Yosef, and one of them you write Yehuda. Yosef and Yehuda, you take a piece of wood. That's why Tzadikim were makbid to play dreidel with a wooden dreidel, because it represents, again, the bridging of Yehuda and Yosef. As the Haftorah talks about, the Pasuk in Yecheskel. Take a piece of wood and write on it Yosef and write Yehuda and bind them together. So this is Gula, and this is Hanukkah, and this is again a nice overview of all of Jewish history and world history. Okay, any questions, comments? Yes. Hashem Melech, Hashem Malach, Hashem Yimloch.
All those combined.
It's 358. Hashem Melech, Hashem Melech, Hashem Yimloch. Hashem yimloch li'olam va'ed. Hashem yimloch li'olam va'ed. Yeah, Bnei Sasser talks about that yimloch is gematria 100, and yimloch li'olam va'ed is gematria 350. Why? Because yimloch is gematria pach, the pach shemen, right? And yimloch li'olam va'ed is 350 is gematria keren. The Gemara says that those kings who were anointed with a pach, with a flask of oil, their kingdoms didn't last. Those who were anointed with a keren, their kingdoms last forever. So that's why yimloch li'olam va'ed is gematria keren. As opposed to just yimloch, a short rule, is gematria pach. But it has to do with kisval keren ashur. What's the gematria of keren ashur? The Yevanim said, right on the horn of an ox. Last remnants for the day. I'm done, really, for real. Tell me the gematria of keren ashur and then we're done. The Yevanim's decree was kisvu al keren ashur, right on the horn of an ox. Shein lachem chelek melkei Yisrael. What's the gematria of keren ashur?
850.
How much is keren?
856.
How much is keren? Kufr ish nun? 350. How much is hashur? 861.
511.
So what's 511? Keren ashur is gematria? 861. What's 861? Kisvu al keren ashur. Shein lachem chelek v'elkei Yisrael. Everything Chazal ever said is so precise. Why did the Yevanim say right on the horn of an ox? What does that even mean? So the Maharal says the ox Yosef is b'chor shor. Right, Yosef again is Hanukkah, so they're opposing Yosef. But Keren Ashur is 861. Gematria Matisyahu, Gematria Beis Hamikdash, Gematria the two names of Mashiach. The Yevanim said Kisvel Keren Ashur right on the horn of an ox. Keren Ashur is also 861. Okay. Adkan, Hakafa Aleph. Shkaf, we thank our Rebbe, the Bnei Sasser, for teaching us such beautiful ideas. And we should be zochet to see the Gula with our own eyes. Amen.